who, you know, will listen to the show. She'll hear this show, but she won't listen to it. You know what I mean? She hears it.
Kind of like us.
She puts it on as background noise, but she doesn't really, like, listen.
The people on this show.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
So my wife's like, what are you talking about, official game? And now one of our friends explains to her that a game becomes official after five innings. And my wife asked a question that had us all stopped in our tracks.
Yeah.
She goes, well, why do they play nine then?
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yes. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hey there. Greetings to you. Having a good day, Jim Russell?
No.
Almost had an open mic situation there. Greetings to you. Good afternoon. It is a Friday. It is the 23rd day of July for 2021. A TGI Friday for Jim Russell, to say the very least. You're listening to Extra 1360. It's our name of the radio station. It's where you can find us on AM radio. Cruising around in the Jeep today, listening to AM. AM 1360. You can find us also on FM at 103.3. You can find us on FM in HD at 101.5, channel number 2. You have to get HD radio. HD radio is something I think that's sort of a surprise if you rent a car or you buy a car or lease a car. They're like, hey, HD radio. But that's about the extent of my experience with it. It seems like it's a nice add-on. So if you get it, great. I hope you find us there at 101.5 FM, channel number 2, the iHeartRadio app. The most consistent way to listen to the show, in my opinion. You can listen to us wherever and whenever and however you would like. You can stream us through whatever speakers, headphones, whatever your home system allows, the iHeartRadio app. You can auto-download this show each and every day. And while you're fumbling around there on that iHeartRadio app, why don't you find a couple of podcasts that you might like? We've got thousands of them. Number one for podcasting, the iHeartRadio app. SportsSD.com, our website. Smart speakers have voices. I've already had conversations this morning with both of them. Both of them already. Yes, my life. Siri and Alexa. If you ask them to stream the show, they can do that as well. Gotcha for 3 hours today. We're here on a Friday afternoon. We're from the iHeart Studios. Jim Russell's already off to a roaring start. Hopefully, this is not going to be a harbinger of things to come for the remainder of the day for the universe that Jim Russell occupies.
Hey, put Tim on the mic.
This is Jim.
Yeah, I don't know. I, you know when your computer freezes and you're just like pressing buttons and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I was panicking, dude. I got to tell you, because I don't think you realized that your microphone was still on from your update. And I imagined a scenario where Jim just started mother effing his computer right there on the air and like didn't even realize that the mic was still on. And he's the only person that's in charge of dumping anything, any sort of profanity or vulgarity. He is the gatekeeper of this radio show, and you would have been unable to dump yourself because you wouldn't have realized it. And I'm sitting in Jim's ear going, dude, your mic is on. Your mic is on. You're like, what? This computer? Like I just felt like it was Bruce Banner turning into the Incredible Hulk right there in the control room, that at any given minute, Jim was just going to pick up computer. Hulk mad. Tim mad. Smash computer. Computer not work. And then just before you left and got fired, you would just let go of the stream of profanity. Were you close? I feel like you were close to cussing.
I wasn't close to cussing, but I was close to... I'm very close to destroying this computer. Like, very close to doing it.
Going all Hulk.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Going all
taking
Bruce
a like, my last day, whenever that is, a baseball bat to this monitor and the computer is probably going to happen.
I saw it. I saw it unfolding, and I just had your career flash before my eyes. Not your eyes, my eyes. Because I could tell that the mic was still open there because you had yet to close the mic from the update. And I will say, you're a better man than us. You are a better man than either Marty or me, because Marty and me, there's no doubt that there would have been some profanity about the computer. I have zero doubt about that. It had been one of us. Had that been happening here, whatever the equivalent would be on our side of the glass here in the studio, I'm telling you, that would have been it. It would have been curtains for one of us, no doubt, especially Marty. Especially
what?
Marty Caswell.
Martha, what's going on?
Who is blissfully ignorant of the entire situation.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the stress and the drama that was oozing from you. And you're right. Jim is a better man than me.
Yes.
So Jim's a much better man than you.
Yes.
Thanks.
It's not often we could say that,
no.
By the way.
No.
But
no.
For the record, like Jim, Marty, wait, Jim, a better man than Marty today. As we get underway. But that's not normal. Marty's usually the better man in that situation. Yeah, I loved it too. Marty's like, she's just like, what happened?
Like, huh?
Why is everyone so upset?
Why is everybody upset? She doesn't understand why I'm panicking. Because as I'm trying to talk to Jim, like, dude, your mic's on. Marty takes her headphones out and she's like, what? Anyway, 3 hours today coming up here. And we have a guest in our first segment. The manager of the Miami Marlins is going to call in. His name is Don Mattingly. How many of you have ever heard of Don Mattingly?
That sounds familiar. No, I'm familiar with a Preston Mattingly, but Don Mattingly?
Don Mattingly is the manager of the Marlins. In no other world would anybody ever want to talk to the manager of the Marlins unless his name was Don Mattingly, who's expected to call in here in about 7 or 8 minutes' time. So we'll talk to Don Mattingly about his son, Preston. As a matter of fact, that was going to be my first question.
Is that right?
Because Preston Mattingly is oftentimes referred to as A.J. Preller's right-hand man.
Yes.
So I wonder what these games are like. Not that this is the NFL, not that there's a ton of espionage. It's baseball. Everybody sort of knows everybody else's secrets. But what is it like when it's the Marlins versus the Padres, and what sort of situation does that create for Preston
Absolutely.
Mattingly?
Absolutely, and we also thought that last year there was a scenario where the Padres could have ended up playing the Marlins in the first round, and I know we had that conversation. And to your point on A.J. Preller, if you ever see A.J. Preller at Petco Park, if you see him, that means that Preston Mattingly is about 3 feet away.
Correct.
They're joined at the hip.
They are. They're joined at the hip. They do a lot of things together. Like, it's not just baseball stuff. I think
they hoop
together.
So he hoops at 4 o'clock in the morning,
they
probably?
They definitely hoop in the middle of the night. They've got all these underground leagues, these guys, that they don't ever want anybody talking about this sort
right,
of stuff.
But right.
They got these underground leagues that they all play in. It's like international. It's like an international underground basketball league that these guys play in. It's not just what I've heard about them hopping around town and playing in the middle of the night up in North County. They do this sort of stuff all the time. There's a book to be made. There's a book to be written out there. I don't know that this will be one of the chapters of my book.
I think it needs to be. It does.
Maybe it'll be the sequel.
I can't wait.
Be the follow-up to the book.
This needs to happen. You need to write a book. You keep teasing the content, the different chapters. I really think you need to do it. Just do it.
I'm not sure. I feel like I'm losing a little bit of steam. Feel like I'm losing some steam on that. But Don Mattingly will be here because, you know, why not? Why not talk to Don Mattingly? We've invited both managers who are there in Miami today to appear on the show, and one of them got back to us. So we'll take the one that we can get. We'll take the one who manages the Marlins, who has a son who works for the Padres organization, who recently said that baseball was unwatchable. So, you know, we'll talk to that guy instead. Plus, I also want to find out what it's been like. Mm-hmm. You know, Don Mattingly, as a player, worked and played for a million different managers in New York. It was ridiculous. Like, I think he had 10 managers in like 15 years in New York or something like that. And he's been in coaching, and he's been coaching previous to Miami. He was with Los Angeles with the Dodgers, and now he's with the Marlins. But remember the Marlins, they made some offseason news because of their general manager.
Ah, Kim Ng.
Kim Ng. So I don't know exactly what I'm going to ask. I would imagine Don Mattingly is going to say, I've worked for other general managers. She's another really good general manager, and we've got good things coming. But
that's a fascinating dynamic when you think about the three people there, the three people in positions of power. And Don Mattingly, of course, is the manager, and he was a very popular Yankees player and captain. And then Derek Jeter, who is going to the Hall of Fame shortly. They were on the same Yankees team together, correct? And then Kim Ng, the first female GM in Major League Baseball. That is a fascinating front office right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know nobody goes to these games. What do they call it? 10,000-plus people last mm-hmm. night? And somewhere in that range, but that might not be the worst team ever to cover
right.
when you think about it. Not that Derek Jeter ever makes himself available and whatever, but in terms of having the sport's first female general manager in Kim Ng, and good, like that's great. You know, I think that's really good. There's no reason why she's not every bit as qualified as some of these other nerds that you see in front offices. So, right? I mean, what's the difference? I don't really know what the difference is. Not like half these nerds play baseball either. So right. It's not really a requisite for the job. And I say that as a term of endearment. I would put myself in that category as well, like, you know, being part of the nerd crew, not being part of the former player crew. Like, there's that dynamic.
That's changed quite a bit in baseball.
It has. You know, it has. And there's a lot of really good general managers who never sniffed the baseball field before. So it's like we were talking the other day with Heidi Watney. Like, she and I have played the exact amount of Major League Baseball games. She's played the same amount of games as everybody on the show combined. We all have zero. We none of us have played professional baseball ever in our lives, yet we've had good careers where we've, you know, hopefully made some good money, and we get to talk about sports without ever having known what it's like to strap it on. So, you know, what's the difference between this and between that? So I'm happy about that, and Don Mattingly is also just an interesting guy to talk. He's just a player from a different generation, and I mean this as respectfully as possible. Clearly, I think if you know anything about me, this show, you know I grew up on a different coast. And Tony Gwynn, this is becoming a Fernando Tatis Jr. town, but it's still a Tony Gwynn town. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, he still is Mr. Padre, and he still, you know, they are hoping that they can construct a career for Fernando Tatis Jr. that results in the statue based on what? Based on the statue that we see at Petco Park of Tony Gwynn. And for a period of time, this guy on the East Coast had a lot of those same abilities. I looked it up this morning just because sometimes I like going down these rabbit holes on baseballreference.com. I always like going to Tony Gwynn's page and just looking at the ridiculous numbers. I don't know how often anybody else does that. I realize it's very like nerdy and old baseball.
Where do you start? The strikeouts in a season or the batting average?
Strikeouts in a season, because you know you look at it and you know I think most people know this, but sometimes you remind yourself Tony Gwynn never struck out more than 40 times in a season. It's like a month for some of these guys now.
It's a good month for some of these players.
I'm not even saying that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just the difference in the sport. And Don Mattingly, for what it's worth, he never struck out more than 43 times in a season.
Is that right?
And he was a power hitter. You know, he had a little bit of pop.
That surprises me just a little bit.
Yeah, I think he still owns a major league record for most consecutive games with a home run. Unless somebody's broken that, which is very possible. But for a period of time, he was sitting there on 7 or 8 consecutive games with a home run. So, you know, he was a great defender. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I wasn't some dyed-in-the-wool Yankee fan like some of you think, but he was a reason to go to Yankee Stadium. And there weren't many other reasons to go to Yankee Stadium but to go watch Don Mattingly play. And he was a little bit of a trendsetter, too. I'm not going to compare it to like Fernando Tatis, but I remember people showing up and they wanted to wear eye black at Yankee Stadium like Don Mattingly did. People wanted to have, he had a very unique, from the left-hand side of the plate, he had a very unique batting stance, you know, that he had a little bit of a crouch and he'd sort of pop up out of the crouch. So anyway, I grew up a huge fan. You know, I grew up a baseball fan. There were lots of players that I liked. It was a different era. There was no internet. There was no MLB.TV. There was none of that. There was no social media. So, you know, this is what I had. And then you would check the schedule to see, hey, when are the Padres coming to town? Okay, great. I got to go schlep out there to Shea Stadium.
He's the reason. When you put it out like that, there's more parallels with him and Tony Gwynn than you would think, especially when you say that he was the only reason to go and watch that team.
Yeah,
because they were bad. They weren't, yeah.
Yeah, for a lot of those years. Again, like I said, I mean, he had a new manager every single year. So, I mean, just, but now he's the manager of the Marlins, and you know, we'll talk to him a little bit about just, you know, the overall game itself. Don Mattingly is 60 years old, which is sort of hard for some of us of a certain generation to believe. He is 60 years old, so we'll talk to Don Mattingly coming up. We don't normally do guests in our first segment. He's expected to call in sometime here in the next 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go too far down the road with anything else. Padres win last night 3-2. Blake Snell looked really good. Blake Snell, we're going to hear from him coming up at the bottom of the hour. Blake Snell talked a little bit. He gave another somewhat entertaining post-game Zoom, Blake Snell did. I don't know. I could not put my finger on exactly what it was for Blake Snell last night, but it's just good to see. You know, and the results for a night, you can say and provide whatever context you want, that it's the Marlins or that it's Austin Nola. He's back in the state of Florida, which we jokingly had referenced yesterday on the show. So you could say whatever you want to say about that. I think everybody understands that it's great that you have these one-off type appearances for Blake Snell. Not that it shouldn't be appreciated for a Thursday night, but people now want to see it 5 days from now. That's what people want to see. They want to see this start to build up a little bit of consistency. I will admit, I don't know how many of you were thinking about this. Like I was thinking about this. I heard Jim Bowden's voice in my head an awful lot last night while I was watching Blake Snell. Fix him! Fix him. Fix him. Did they fix him? I got a couple of texts to that effect. Fix him. Fix him. Did they in fact fix Blake Snell? Well, we won't know. We won't know until we see it happen again and then again, because that's
fix him.
How you define consistency is somebody repeating it over and over again, not just giving you one good night on a Thursday in front of 10,000 people. So we'll hear from Blake Snell coming up in a little bit, who was really good last night. Dennis Lynn from The Athletic will join us. We are a little bit more than a week to the minute away from the deadline. The trade deadline is 1 week from today at 1 p.m. Pacific time. So Dennis Lynn has a lot of sleepless nights. It's like he's covering the Olympic Games. Dennis Lynn will join us coming up in hour number two. We'll talk a little bit of NFL as camps are set to open up. Andrew Brandt from The Athletic will join us coming up in hour number three. Excuse me, from the Monday Morning Quarterback will join us in hour number three. But as promised, the manager of the Miami Marlins is Don Mattingly. He's been on this show several times before, mostly while wearing a Dodger uniform. But it was good to see him last night. He's a busy guy. He's got a game coming up here in a couple of hours, and we appreciate his time. Don, Darren Smith in San Diego, thank you very much.
Hey, Darren. Good to talk to you again.
How's everything?
It could be better, but, you know, we're kind of on that track, right? And obviously playing your San Diego club right now. So we got our hands full down here.
I'm sure. They are a good club, Don, as you know, as you might remember as well. We were just talking about this. Your son Preston works for the Padres, correct?
Correct.
This isn't the NFL, so we don't have spy games and espionage and all that sort of stuff going on. But when the Marlins are playing the Padres, what is the dynamic for the Mattinglys in that situation?
Well, like last night after the game, I took Press back to the hotel, and you know we talked quite a bit. Honestly, he's a pretty good baseball rat, and you know he loves talking the game. So we'll talk about different things. You know, obviously we're not going to talk about our situation when we're playing them. But other than that, we're talking about, you know, the trade deadline, probably like you all are doing. What do you need? What are you thinking about? Things like that.
Oh, really? What did he tell you?
Well, obviously they don't need a whole lot. You know, they like their club and they should. So, you know, I'm sure a team like that is probably, you know, obviously I'm not on the inside, so he didn't tell me what they're doing. But teams like that are looking for that, you know, one piece here that fits into the equation. And, you know, it's like you're not going out to overhaul. You got a really good club already.
Did Press grow up a better baseball player or a better basketball player? Because he's sort of known around these parts for his baseball rat mentality, as you just said. He's known for being A.J. Preller's right-hand man, but he's also known for being there next to A.J. Preller an awful lot when these dudes are playing hoop.
No, he was always like that kid in basketball. I think that was his first love. You know, he's one of those guys that had a key to the gym. He'd go to the gym and shoot in the mornings before school. Obviously, you know, he got drafted and hung around a little bit, never found that niche in baseball as far as playing, and went back and went to school and played Division I basketball. So, you know, I was proud of him for going back to school. I thought he did what he had to do as far as getting the education. But I know he loves what he's doing there in San Diego, and obviously a pretty good place to be doing it and a good situation you guys are in right now.
Yeah, very good situation, Don. You remember some of the years coming down here when you were with the Dodgers. You remember what the market was like. You'd be surprised. It's a totally different place than you might have remembered when there were just tons of visiting fans in the ballpark. This place is electric. It's alive, and you got people who are wearing swag chains around the ballpark now, people who are wearing Tatis jerseys everywhere. I was just saying, when you were a player, I'm somebody who grew up on the East Coast, and I remember you as a player. I remember people wanting to emulate Don Mattingly. They would show up at Yankee Stadium with eye black on. They would try to emulate your batting stance. What is that like? I mean, you remember that, a version of that as a player. It was clearly pre-social media and, you know, pre-ESPN, a lot of that sort of stuff in the 80s, but like, What does that feel like when you're a player? How aware are you of you know, who you are and what you represent to so many fans?
I think over time you realize it. You know, when people are coming up to you with, you know, their kids and they tell you they're, you know, they played first base and wore 23 because of you and things like that. It's honestly a humbling feeling. You know, kids, you know, people now are coming to me like, name their daughter. I've met probably five or six Mattinglys out there, and That's really humbling, honestly, to someone to name their kid after you. So it's cool. And it's a good thing. Like you said, you guys got Tatis out there now, and it's crazy. I see the games when catch a couple of the West Coast games, and it seems like it's a crazy ballpark and a fun environment. Players love that, you know. So it's a good environment, sounds like, right now.
Don Mattingly joining us on Extra 1360. A couple months ago, you said something that made a little bit of news, and you already, I'm sure, know what I'm referencing. You said sometimes baseball seems unwatchable. I don't want to – you've been asked about that a bunch of times, so, you know, it sort of speaks for itself. But what I wonder, Don, is what sort of reaction did you get for that? Yeah, I wonder, both good, bad? I mean, were there people who said to you, yeah, I get it. Like, I hear what you're saying. These games are long, and it's the three true outcomes. Did anybody get in your ear and be like, hey, Don, you know, you're not helping here, you know, like we're trying to promote this sport. Like, what sort of reaction did you get?
No, I think it was okay. I felt pretty positive, actually. And I'm not a big social media guy, so I could have got blown up for it. I don't know. But I think, I think most of the time I did get a chance to talk about it some, and I talk about it, and I think the league is trying to address it. People want action, right? They want a game that moves. I don't think anyone wants to sit around and watch two hits and a bunch of strikeouts every day, right? I think we would like to see an action. I think, you know, the moves with the baseball have helped offenses. I think we've seen more offense. I think that's equaling the playing field a little bit. But I think some of the rule changes that the league's talking about, those things fit in with what I was talking about, that we want a game that's more action, that's got a pace to it. You know, watch the World Series last year, like the last 40 minutes, two balls were put in play or something like that. That's hard to watch, right? And unless you're probably a Dodger fan or a Braves fan last year. So I think those are the things I was talking about. And I think people understand, because I think that's the way a lot of people feel, that we got to keep this game going and growing.
There's a lot of ideas. I saw another one today about pitcher-catcher electronic communications. People have talked about bigger bases, changing some of the ways that pitchers can toss over, how many times, limiting that. Is there one idea for Don Mattingly, a lifetime here in Major League Baseball? Is there one idea that really just pops out to you that you go, yes, like that would dramatically improve things?
Well, I don't know if there's any one thing. And I think I look at it like you see rule changes in every sport. You see it in basketball, no hand checking. They want to create more offense. Football, you see different rule changes all the time. I think in baseball, I think the one I would like, the electronic, I think you see so many teams now trying to give signs from second base, trying to steal, not necessarily steal signs anymore electronically because I've really watched that, but more at second base, trying to give signs and all that kind of thing. I think that's one that could be a positive. I think the automated strike zone is going to be a positive. I think that'll help hitters some, make the pitchers throw it over. It'd be a universal strike zone. I think they'll get that right. You know, I like the pitch clock a little bit, honestly. I don't think we need to wait 25 seconds between every pitch. I think we can move at a better pace. Keep the batters in the batter's box. Just little things, right, that would keep the pace moving. It's not necessarily change the game. Keep the game moving.
Here, here, right. That's what I said to Marty when Marty said that you had agreed to come on the show. I was like, he just managed a four-hour baseball game last night. He wants to come on the radio and talk more about baseball?
Pretty easy to talk about this sport. I love it. Been in it a long time. You know that.
I do know that as well. And you've been in it a long time. I was just saying before you came on, you know, that people, this is still a great, you know, this is Tony Gwynn's town still. And one of the things that people remember about Tony is, you know, how infrequently he struck out. And he never struck out more than 40 times in a season. You never struck out more than 43 times in a season. Is that just an era that just is just gone? Like, I don't want to make it sound, Don, like I'm, you know, wistfully thinking about what it was like playing in the 80s and all that sort of stuff, because I'm all for evolution. And, you know, if there are different ways to do it, then so be it. But is that an era that you think maybe someday it's all cyclical, it comes back, or is that just an era of baseball now too far removed that we'll expect to see it anytime again soon?
Yeah, I don't think we get down to that few. You know, I think when, you know, I played against Tony in winter ball and was a big admirer of his and obviously a great hitter. And we were pushed to put the ball in play and use the whole field. And that kind of slowly, I think over the last 25 years or so, you know, the strikeouts became, you know, it wasn't a big deal to strike out. You know, an out is an out type thing. And that's grown to a different level. But I will say this, with all the analytics and plenty of numbers out there, right, there is you do see more and more talking about guys that don't swing and miss in the strike zone, that control the strike zone, that put the ball in play. You know, just a guy, for example, Cronenworth, you know, a guy out there that we watch and seen last night, he gets the ball in the strike zone. He doesn't miss it very often. So, you know, you start looking at those statistics of guys that put it in play, what rate are they striking out, trying to push the strikeout rate down and pick those type of players. So I think there is a push to bring it back more to the middle. I don't know if it goes quite back to the point where we're choking up and doing everything we can just to put it in play.
Right, because that would take like an entire generation, right? Like that's not something that you just snap a finger and go, okay, this is the way we're going to do it, everybody, and it just changes. I mean, that's something that starts at the lowest level of baseball in this country and would take probably years to be put into practice.
No question. And I think it's taken years to get where we're at. I mean, as launch angle comes in and kids are swinging up, I've always told the story, you know, you come in and the analytics comes in and the front offices are talking, hey, we got to get the ball in the air. We want to get this ball at this launch angle, this and that. And then they walk into the other room and they tell the pitchers, hey, throw the ball at the top of the strike zone because these guys are trying to get it in the air and they can't hit that one. So it kind of works both ways, right? And we've been doing that for, you know, probably 15 years now, 10 to 15 years with this launch angle thing. And so now we've got kids in high school and teachers that teach in the younger kids that are teaching that and think that's right. You know, is it right or wrong, or is there a balance in there somewhere to bring it back to where you can put the ball in play and you can still have power?
Hey, Don, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. You've always been good to the show. It's been greatly appreciated here, certainly by a lot of our listeners as well. Thank you for doing this. Enjoy it, as always. Hope we get a chance to do it again soon.
Sounds good, Darren. Thank you, man.
Thank you. That is Don Mattingly, everybody. Yankees manager here. And again, and I get it. It was a different time. It was a different era. And Don Mattingly might not mean something to somebody listening like it does to people of a certain generation. But if you want to go back and look at some of those numbers, by the way, you know, 6 All-Stars and MVP, guy led the league in average and hits. I mean, just – and then his body just gave out. You know, there was a time where the body just gave out and it was unwilling to cooperate. But there was a time where I will tell you that was a Hall of Fame trajectory for that guy. Take a time out. We'll be back after this. We'll hear from Blake Snell next. All right. Dennis Lynn of The Athletic coming up at the top of the hour. I did see one of our local media members. I want to say it was Dornay Tripp from NBC Sports was watching ESPN today. And quoted Jeff Passan.
Ah, I saw that.
Quoted Jeff Passan. I want to make sure that I get this right, so I don't want to misquote anybody here. I don't want to misquote Dornay Tripp quoting Jeff Passan. Does that make sense?
Yes. But I think I do know where this is going. I believe I was watching the exact same clip when I was watching not Get Off, but SportsCenter. Yes, because they were talking about the trade deadline being a week from today, which would be at 1 o'clock Pacific time next Friday, and which of the three teams in the National League West will be most aggressive at the deadline, right? Was that
clip? Boy, this guy tweets a lot, this Dornay Tripp. All right, here it is. I see San Diego trying to make the biggest splash. He quotes Jeff Passan, who appeared on SportsCenter today. You were watching this?
I was.
I see San Diego trying to make the biggest splash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he brought up Joey Gallo again.
Shocker.
Talked about how the Dodgers and the Giants need pitching. And the name Craig Kimbrell was brought up. And if you're the Dodgers and you've seen what's happened the past three nights, how is that not your number one target? But he still thinks because of the AJ Preller, the unpredictable factor, that they would be the most aggressive. The biggest splash.
I wonder how much of that is based on actual information, how much of that is based on reputation.
I think it's a track record. That's what I think it is.
I would agree. Because there have been some trade deadlines right now, everybody. Remember 2015 and 2017 where the Padres sort of did nothing. Now they were in a totally different position. They were not angling for a playoff spot. They hadn't invest a franchise record amount of money into a product. But I will continue to say, and if I'm proven wrong, I am proven wrong. I am not reporting this or predicting this. I'm just telling you,
Okay. Based
on available information, I got a couple of lines still there. Just a couple. They're starting to fray a little bit. But
oh, really?
I just got a couple. And I get the sense, like, the expectation externally is different than the expectation here internally.
I don't know
if that's what Dennis Lynn is going to say, but I feel like this is sort of, hey, AJ Preller, could you save us this trade deadline just in case nothing happens? Because we just want to, we know that you've got this reputation as a real wheeler and dealer, and you do a bunch of exciting things. So why don't you do something this year?
Right.
I just don't get the sense that we're going to see anything. We'll see. We'll see what sort of opportunities arise.
Is this kind of, sort of, maybe your best bet?
No, because things could change.
But when you see
Dennis Lynn say it's most likely that you're going to see Kyle Gibson, Kenta Maeda, Merrill Kelly, John Gray, Danny Duffy, those are good, not great moves. That's about...
That's the starting pitcher.
It's about on par with what I've heard, which is don't expect like blockbusters. Expect medium-sized deals.
Would you have considered, if they were successful in acquiring Nelson Cruz, which The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal reported they were after him, would you have considered that a blockbuster move?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to find out how it is internally that we define a medium-sized deal.
I think a blockbuster would be, you know, bringing in a pretty big piece and exchanging either Hosmer or Myers in return. Like, I would consider that to be a relative blockbuster because of the names and the salaries that are attached.
I don't know that we're quite there.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not reporting. I'm just giving you my impression based on some conversations. Okay. You're not going to go pay a hefty price for something just for the sake of doing it. That's definitely the sense that I get here. This isn't going to be a move for a move's sake, but again, that about fits in, I think, with how it's been described to me without a bunch of detail. I haven't been down the road of requesting detailed information. Just speaking in generalities, and generalities was, yeah, maybe you should expect a medium deal, medium-sized deal between now and then. You know, it's funny. We were just talking about strikeouts with Don Mattingly. I don't want to sound like that guy. Well, the game today, I don't want to turn into that guy because I can accept the fact that it's different. I can accept that, you know, we have a lot of players now who aren't fearful of striking out, and that is the right word. Players from a different generation, they were absolutely fearful of striking out because it was embarrassing. There are 250 players playing today in 2021 who already have more than 43 strikeouts this year, which is what we just said was the high watermark ever for Don Mattingly, and three more ever in a single season than Tony Gwynn. And I can tell the story now. When A.J. Hinch was the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, he managed Mark Reynolds. Remember Mark Reynolds?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do you remember about Mark Reynolds?
Strikeout or home run.
He was like the three true outcomes guy. He was the prototype for this era where he would strike out or he would hit a home run. And
it's like Mark Reynolds and Adam Dunn, they seem to have cornered that market.
They had incredible light tower power. They could hit the ball a mile, but they would whiff. And one time when AJ, just a rookie manager in Arizona, he was managing Mark Reynolds, and Mark Reynolds struck out four or five times in a game. Okay? Like, oh, for the night, every out was via strikeout. So what happens afterwards, back when reporters were allowed in the clubhouse, they all go running up to Mark Reynolds, and they're like, man, you struck out four or five times in a game. I don't remember which it was, right? You either had the golden sombrero or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And the reporters were trying to get him to say, like, isn't this bad? You know, like that you struck out four or five times. And Mark Reynolds is like, he's like, outs are outs. What do I care? You know, and he sort of was very nonchalant about it. So, of course, I'm sure somebody on local talk radio or somebody in a local column wrote that, oh, well, this guy doesn't care. He's not embarrassed. Right. Like we're starting to see everything switch around a little bit. So the next day they bring this, you know, the media relations department, they bring this to AJ Hinch's attention. They say, hey, listen, I mean, you know, Mark's at least got to pretend like this bothers him. You know what I mean? Like can you talk to him? So AJ calls Mark Reynolds into the office. He comes in, he sits him down, making a little bit of small talk. And he's like, listen, Mark, I know what you're saying. I know outs are out. But, you know, when you strike out five times in a game, you sort of, you know, you at least have to, you know, you can't just brush that off. Mark Reynolds leans forward in the seat and goes, hey, AJ, I'm not a good hitter. That's not what I'm doing here. I can't hit. I hit home runs or I strike out. Like, I don't know what you guys think you signed up for, but he just leaned forward. He looks right at AJ and goes, Mark, AJ, I can't hit. I'm not a good hitter. So I don't know what you expect out of me. This is who I am. AJ's like, I get it, but can you at least next time they come in there and they start bothering you about all the strikeouts? And I think he still owns a major league record for most strikeouts in a season, does he not, Mark Reynolds? But at least next time, can you at least pretend like you're not totally unconcerned with this development? And that's, you know, that to me, it tells the story of almost a whole generation of players now who just, you know, they view it correctly, incorrectly. It's up to all of you. It's up to the organizations. They don't care if they strike out anymore. And outs and out. They don't really matter.
He led the league in strikeouts four consecutive seasons and has two of the 10 highest single season strikeout records, 211 and 204.
Imagine a manager, though, going, hey, man, listen, like, you know, when the press comes in there and they start peppering you about this sort
of
stuff.
Give them a cliche. Give them some token.
Give them a cliche. Just give them anything.
Give them the sound bite.
You know, hey, I'm not trying to strike out. Hey, AJ, I can't hit.
Gosh.
What are you supposed to do when you're a manager and a player says that to you? There's nothing you can do. We'll hear from Blake Snell.
Steve Harbin here. Coming up Monday on the Extra Morning Show, we recap the Padres' weekend series of the Marlins. They're coming home. Plus, the Olympics have started. Are you watching? We'll get started at 6 a.m. right here on Extra 1360.
You can text the show, 70470, first word of the text, XTRA. There's sometimes where I feel like we've abandoned people who interact with the show on Twitter because we're just encouraging you to bring it in one place, so we do a dedicated segment every day to the text line. But some of you have already chimed in on Twitter, and it is appreciated. So thank you. Thank you very much. Let's see if I can read a couple of these. Tony Bubbles, my man Tony Bubbles, who I'm sure is enjoying some good wine here on a Friday afternoon. Enjoyed the Don Mattingly interview. Vincenzo, that was a great interview. I remember playing wiggle ball, and emulating Mattingly at the plate. Peter in Point Loma, Donnie Baseball, always a great interview. Padre fans associate him with Tony Gwynn and Wade Boggs when the three of them ruled MLB batter's boxes. Those are great comparisons. Again, and I'm not trying to be like back in my day guy. Like I do. I mean, there's some things about the sport I don't love today, but there are a lot of things that I do. You know, that's very exciting. The athleticism that you see, it's ridiculous. But yeah, those three guys. If you were from like if you were watching ball when those three were doing like, oh, man, just especially if you were a left-handed hitter. Those were three of the best. Three of the best that ever did it. All right, so thank you on that. Like I said, I always feel a little bad that we've seemingly abandoned Twitter. It's not you, it's us. But you can text the 70470. First word of the text, XDRA. You can win your share of over $200,000 just by texting the keywords when we give them out. Another chance to win $1,000 is coming up in minutes on Extra 1360. Should we do Blake Snell or should we get to some best bets of the day? Don't all chime in at once. Here's Blake Snell, who pitched really, really well last night. Six innings, though one pitch was omitted from the repertoire last night. He was not happy with his changeup.
Changeups and timeout. I'm annoyed with it.
It's not timeout again?
Yeah. I mean, that's how the relationship's been. It needs to get better. So I'm going to keep working with it, but it needs to talk, you know, it needs to have better communication with me. But yeah, I mean, I honestly just think all around though, the fastball command was really everything. I mean, I think I walked three guys, which needs to get a lot better, but, outside of that, just really looking at it, the fastball command in and out, up and down was really good.
There are some people who post these sessions and they omit all of the people who are asking the questions. I must admit, I appreciate Marty often will leave the person who asks the question into the...
Sometimes you need to have that in there, that you need to have the question. When the question's important and it's leading up what he's talking about, then yeah, the question's in there.
Oh, is that why you do it?
That's why I do it.
I thought you do it just so we can make fun of people's facial expressions.
No, well, if I did that, I would leave a lot more in there.
I will say there's something that is... Like AC is, he's just so, what's the word? What am I searching for here?
Frazzled?
No, not really frazzled. He's just,
what's the word?
He's like so giddy. He's just like, oh. He asked a question about like, he gets like so worked up.
Was it about the road splits, the road home splits?
But his facial expression's just, I don't know what story it's telling. It's
he
just
does
not exactly
that
telling the story of the question.
With certain players. Yeah. Depends on the topic. And if Blake Snell is in a good mood, it seems to make him happy.
Well, he asked Blake Snell about the road and the home splits. I'm jumping ahead here, Jim. So he asked him, because we know that this is part of the story. And by the way, well, I'll let you hear it first, and then I'll say what I have to say.
No matter what, y'all going to find something to talk about. So it doesn't bother me. I mean, I've seen the numbers. I've heard the numbers, but I mean, I think it's just all about me showing up and being ready to dominate. And if my mindset's that way and I have an aggression towards the strike zone, I'm going to be in a good position to win a lot of the time. So I don't really look home away. I love pitching, period. So it doesn't really matter where it's at. It's just at home I pitch a lot better and on the road I pitch a lot worse this year. So
I like, though, the hold on now. Let me flip this back on you. You all have to find something to talk about. As if your front office isn't talking about that same thing. Anyway, just had to get that off my chest.
Fix him.
They did fix him, Jim, for a night. Somebody fixed him. Did the Marlins fix him or did the Padres fix him? Only time will tell.
The two guys that Jim Bowden said they needed to fix, emphatically, both turned in some pretty good outings. Chris
Fix
Paddock
him.
And Blake Snell.
Fix him. Then, of course, he was asked about the illness. Dennis Lynn, who's in Miami, by the way, is going to join us coming up in about 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. Good to see D. Lynn traveling on the road. He, by the way, I pass no judgment on his facial expressions when he's asking questions. Dennis Lynn, though, got a tight haircut.
Well, you notice a lot of different things.
I am. Zooms. I'm probably going to be making a dramatic change this weekend.
What is it? Really? Yes. What is it that you're looking for then on these Zooms?
I don't know, man.
Facial expressions and hair? Hairlines?
What else is there? I mean, the baseball stuff is...
Dude, four-hour games.
It's not great.
I
four hits.
Oh, three to two four-hour game with like 35 walks.
Longest,
oh, my goodness.
Longest games in baseball. You know who's second? AC had this in his notes today.
No.
Dodgers.
Ugh.
All you people complaining about designated hitters. You got the two longest. You got the teams that play the two longest. The two teams that play the longest games in baseball here in the NL West. But for years, y'all used the DH as an excuse. Time of game, length of game, etc. Please. He was asked about whether or not he's through his illness, this mystery illness, which apparently... somewhere between Cincinnati, Philadelphia, we don't know exactly what happened. And neither does Blake Snell.
I don't know what, I mean, I thought it was food poisoning, and it wasn't. And then I was sick for too long, so it wasn't that. And then I went on the IL for, I don't know what the word was, but I didn't like that word. It made me seem like I was, you know, gassy. That wasn't it. But I don't know what I had. I just know that it sucked, and I'm happy that, hopefully I can put that on timeout forever. Because I don't want to get that again. That was terrible. But I don't know what it was, and I don't think anyone else really knows what it was.
So wait a second here. He associates being on the injured list with being gassy? Is that what I heard?
Gassy.
Gassy? Because he was on the injured list. He doesn't like using that word? Injured list?
Gassy.
What am I missing here?
They described it. I forget what the word was, but illness. It was like gastro something.
Oh,
that was the word they used to describe why he was on the IL.
So did anybody present that word to Blake Snell? So he thinks gastrointestinal means gassy?
I don't know.
Gassy.
I guess.
I don't think we should devote a bunch of time trying to figure out and interpret exactly what it is that Blake Snell says.
Got a good soundbite out of it.
Yeah. Gassy.
Gassy. Fix him. Gassy.
I thought he meant
injured list was gassy. In which case, I would say, how many people now are going to use that in their everyday life to say, I feel like I'm on the injured list. Got a little gassy today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's never dull, I guess. Dennis Lynn from Miami when we come back.